Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Corey Stanton, and today I'm talking with Big Samir and Asia Black, who make up the hip-hop and R&B duo The Reminders. Thanks for calling into KVNF.
Hey, hey.
Where are you calling in from?
We're calling in from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Awesome. I recently saw your performances on a virtual music festival called Banding Together. It was also a big fundraiser put on by the Colorado Music Relief Fund. How did you get involved with this festival, and what has it been like for you performing virtually right now?
That was actually the second one that we've done. We took our time just making sure the sound was great at home and everything before jumping into the virtual performances. And we really enjoyed it. You know, it was a great lineup of artists that were a part of it as well. And it just felt great.
The Reminders released two singles earlier this year, Have It All and Horoscope. Talk to me about Have It All and how the single came together.
Have It All is more of the wishes and dreams we had when we first started performing and creating, and then the reality of what it is now.
Here is Have It All, a new single by The Reminders.
Yes, I do. I want the finer things and a peace of mind. Used to just want some respect and a good check to sign. Until I hit the road and came back to the same old life. OG told me put in work so I can earn my stripes. And yeah, I suffered in the process. Hardships, mass stress, credit cards maxed out, but at least I made some progress. Nothing can stop a born leader with star power. Living a dream while only sleeping a couple of hours. That's why my days are longer, plans a lot stronger. They get excited and nervous when they hear this type of hunger. And wonder if I'm from another planet. Only stop by from time to time, taking nothing for granted. Just small steps in the right direction. Blessings, God is protection. It's all I need to succeed while striving for perfection. Finally ready and it feels so great. I ain't hungry for no crumbs. Gee, I'm off to get the cake.
It ain't enough, just getting by. It just seems so small. When I want a little more than
that was Have It All by The Reminders. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm speaking with Asia Black and Big Samir over the phone from their home in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I read on your website that you've been married for over a decade, and I'm curious how y'all met, and did you immediately start making music together?
You know, we both moved to Colorado Springs the same summer. We met pretty quickly after moving here and just became friends first and eventually grew romantically, and we were both artists first. So, you know, living in the same house, we created together and it formed a group over time.
Yeah. We're going to hear another new release called Horoscope. Talk to me about Horoscope and how that song came together.
We were just having fun. You know, from time to time, we try to just have fun with music. And that's literally how it came about. We just said, you know what, let's just rap about our signs. And there it was.
Let's take a listen to Horoscope by The Reminders.
What's your sign?
In a moment that's so hard to find. Precious, sacred, one of a kind. Took a lifetime, blowing your mind. Keep it a secret or just let it shine. Ready or not, we staying on track. Moving along, no looking back. Everything's perfect, right and exact. Time to ride out, back, stay packed. Let's go. Can't nobody stop us. It's just us in the middle of the madness. Feeling great and alive, yo, we got this. So focused, all we needed was the guidance. Charged up, we the talk of the town. Future so bright, never had to dumb down. Climbing to the top from solid ground. Turning up until you feel the sound.
Are you a Taurus, a Gemini, a Scorpio? Are you a Libra, an Aries, a Capricorn? Are you a Virgo, a Cancer, Aquarius? Are you a Pisces, a Leo, Sagittarius? What's your sign?
That was a song called Horoscope, a new single from The Reminders. You're tuned in to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm talking with Asia Black and Big Samir from The Reminders. I love your vocals and inflection in your music. Can you share a little bit about your writing process and what inspires your music?
I've always been really fascinated with words since I was a child because I always felt very misunderstood. And so I would research words all the time because I thought if I could just find the right words, then people would understand me. And so when I started writing music, it was really just using like the sound as a sonic platform, like the sound as the emotion, like a platform for me to put my intentions and my meaning and my words and my understandings on top of kind of this emotional palette that came through sound. And when I'm writing, when I have an idea, I just like to be able to have the space and the time to hear that idea out. My ideas are more like visitors that come and I kind of I'm just documenting everything I'm experiencing while I'm spending time with that idea. Then eventually I'll put it with some music or try to see what kind of music or chord progressions would fit the emotion that's coming through that story. And then I just kind of put those things together. It's like being a scientist and kind of just experimenting with what will provide the best translation of the emotion and the idea you're trying to get across.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love how you described that.
It really depends. Like some songs come about really easy, like Horoscope, for example. That came about really easy because we weren't overthinking it, you know. And some other ones, sometimes when you have a lot to say, you want to make sure you say it properly and you get the proper point across.
Right. The Reminders put out an album called Unstoppable in 2019. We're going to share your track called Dust and Bones. Talk to me about this song.
Another really fun song. We've been taking trips to New Orleans. I think we started 5 years ago. We got some friends who live down there and we just fell in love with the city of New Orleans and Louisiana as a whole. And it really has a lot of rich culture, musically, but just all together, you know, the food culture, everything. And so we just started going back to New Orleans like twice a year. And if you've never been to New Orleans, you know, and experienced the second line, that's basically what we're doing. We're taking you on a second line where, you know, people just celebrate down the street. You hear a lot of horns and everybody's chanting along and just dancing down the street. And that's what Dust and Bones is musically. But in terms of the message, it's really just burying all the stuff that was weighing you down and putting it all behind. So while you're doing that, you're celebrating at the same time.
Cool. Let's take a listen to Dust and Bones by The Reminders.
Dust and bones. Dust and bones. I've been holding on to you for
way too long.
I'm giving up the ghost and
moving on.
Dust and bones.
Dust and bones.
Dust and bones.
Dust and bones.
I've been holding on to you for
way too long.
I'm giving up the ghost and
moving on.
Dust and bones.
Dust and bones.
Dearly beloved, we gathered here today to lay to rest all the mess standing in our way. Us from receiving better things. Let's set an intention to give more, need less. Make a way for the blessings, more freedom, less stress. Stop bigging up everyone else and underestimate.
stressing, overthinking, overworking. Clear your mind from anything that's toxic. It's time to face your fears, never revisit the bitterness, the anger, the grudges you held on to. You gotta leave it all behind. Lock them in the pine box, bury the hatchet, get planted. Solid as a rock, you will grow like a tree when you let it all go and feel free. Get excited about your future, keep on thinking deeper to reach your highest potential. Become monumental. It was I against I, now I'm truly satisfied. I against I, now I'm truly satisfied.
Dust and moss.
That was a song called Dust and Bones by The Reminders off their 2019 album Unstoppable. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KBNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm talking with Colorado Springs-based hip-hop group The Reminders. Asia, I read that you're from Queens, and Big Samir, you're from Brussels. What brought you to Colorado?
Oh, so my father was in the service. He was in the Air Force. This was his last base that he was stationed at, so we all moved here in 1998. We had lived in Europe for a while. We lived in Portugal, Germany, and England before coming back to the United States, and we all just settled in Colorado, and we've been here ever since.
I was born in Brussels, Belgium. My mother's from there. My mother's half Belgian, half Congolese. But then when she remarried, my stepfather was in the U.S. Air Force, and that's what brought us to Colorado Springs.
So you've been in Colorado for a while.
Yeah, it feels like we're natives at this point.
Well, talk to me about your track called Coming Home, and I was curious, is this song about Colorado?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Colorado is a place that's very special to us. You know, we've lived here the longest we've ever lived anywhere, you know, because we both well-traveled people. We moved around a lot, but Colorado is a place that we've been for so long. And as musicians, we are always touring. And sometimes when we're on the road, you miss home. And so that's what that song is all about. The song is about, you know, the feeling you get when you fly back to Colorado and you finally see the mountains on the west. Or even if you're driving back from being on the road and you finally see those mountains and that feeling that you get, like, okay, here I am.
And sometimes your homesickness is not just for a place, but for the people in that place as well. So Coming Home is basically the idea behind it was a person who comes from a small town and then kind of forsakes that small town to go out and find success in a big city. And then once that success doesn't come, the person recognizes the value of being from a small town like Colorado Springs. And, you know, the song is kind of the lamenting and the celebration of going back to your roots in that small town and understanding that you were always enough and the town was always enough for you to be whatever it is you want to be.
Yeah, well, let's take a listen to Coming Home by The Reminders.
I've been gone so long, finally on my way. Countdown, warm welcome, celebration day. I carry wisdom in my scars and bitter marks of what I've been through. A blackbird, rebirth, flying back to you. Salt of the earth, I was caught up in the whirlwind. Wrestling for heaven, trying not to let the world win. Miraculous escape, great shape, divine mercy. Purify my soul, stay faithful on the journey.
That was Coming Home, a song by The Reminders, a Colorado Springs-based hip-hop duo. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KBNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm talking with Asia Black and Big Samir over the phone from their home in Colorado Springs. And I'm curious, what's the vibe like in Colorado Springs? I know there's been some peaceful protests happening in Denver. What's happening in Colorado Springs right now?
Same thing. We've been having protests down here too, as well from City Hall, and they'll march down to the police station. And it's been pretty peaceful. Nothing like Denver, because it's a lot smaller down here. But there definitely has been peaceful protests every day since.
Also, all of the leaders in Colorado Springs are using this time when everybody's focusing on being a collective to bring up things that the community can use to be closer together and to help one another. So that's been really cool. The end aim is not just focused on one specific issue, but a myriad of issues that have affected low-income communities and communities of color in Colorado Springs. So there have been so many leaders that are coming out and letting people know the types of support and programs that are available.
And can you share any of those opportunities?
A lot of the transient population has been involved in the protests. And so what they have out there is for people with families, for people that are members of the transient population, they are basically using that opportunity to supply them with access and resources. We have a friend who her house just burned down in a fire, and I was talking to her about some of the resources that may be available for her family and her children over the summer. There's just been a lot of community organizations have been just setting up and saying, we're here in support of everyone in this community. We're here in support of Black Lives Matter. We're here in support of all of our communities. And we just want to let you know that we're here for you. And we have all of these resources available for you. If you didn't have access before, we want to make sure we pave the way for you to have that access. And you know that you're loved and supported by the community of Colorado Springs.
That's great. I wanted to talk to you about the blackout on Tuesday and posting of this black square. And I'm honestly confused about what that represents. And I noticed on the Reminders Instagram, there's a black square, but then Asia, on your personal Instagram, you have a separate message. And I was reading through trying to grasp and understand what it meant to you, what it meant to other people. And there was definitely conflicting information. And I'm curious, what did that represent for you? And I guess, why would it be okay or not okay to have posted?
Samir and I both had different understandings, and before I posted it, because at first I did post it, and then I deleted it because I thought to myself, I haven't even gained an understanding or purified my intention in exactly what this is, and before I commit any action, I want to make sure I purify my intention. I know what it is that I'm doing so that if there are any consequences for my actions, I can rationalize my behavior to myself. And so what I started seeing was there were at least 4 or 5 different reasons why people were saying that we had to post it, and it was just very unclear. And so my personal opinion was it doesn't make sense on the day after the president is basically saying he's encouraging governors to declare martial law for us not to have any visibility. And I just said, I just don't think that, you know, we should sacrifice visibility right now for this type of move. It just didn't feel like the right move to me. And, you know, and I got a lot of flack from that, from people saying that I just was bashing things and that, you know, cursing at me and saying if I didn't want to be a part of a collective thing. I said, listen, if we are supposed to be a community that's supposed to be facilitating change and we can't ask questions, we're not going to be able to do very much. And so I asked for clarity, and I got the woman who originally was organizing the Black Square, the Blackout Tuesday. She did a post and said that she doesn't know how the message got lost and there was so much confusion. It was like a bad game of telephone, and she thinks that kind of the cause got hijacked. And so my confusion was valid and your confusion was valid. it was a little bit scary to me that questioning it caused the backlash that it caused when the person who created it admitted that everything had been kind of lost in the shuffle and everybody was confused. You know, I had to explain to somebody, your anger at me is misdirected for questioning something. We should all be questioning things, you know, and it ended up being a peaceful conversation at the end. I just was very adamant about if we're going to take right action, we need to make sure we purify our intention and we have the understanding and the wisdom about the subject we need to have before we move forward.
Yeah.
And as far as my perspective, the initial thought and concept was a great idea, especially coming together as a collective to take a break from business as usual. Everybody's just posting about themselves in the midst of this, because a lot of people even want to just go to protests and take a quick picture of themselves and then posting that on Instagram and keeping it moving. And it was a time to actually take a break for a second. But it doesn't mean that you're silent. It doesn't mean that you stopped everything. It means that you're actually out in your community making a difference, a physical difference.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like even with the message that I posted, I was kind of one foot in and one foot out because I wanted to stand in solidarity with all of the people that I knew were advocating for Blackout Tuesday and had an understanding of it. But at the same time, there are a lot of other people that I know are equally as active in the community and equally as active in like trying to facilitate access and resources for Black communities, and they weren't doing it, you know, and it led to a lot of conversation, especially among like, it wasn't even just in the Black community. It was literally everybody was like, I did it, but I'm not sure I'm supposed to be doing it. So a lot of my friends that are Latino and Caucasian and Greek and Afro-European and, a lot, you know, from all over the world were calling us like, hey, Asia, I saw your post. I'm not sure if I should be posting it. I said, I wasn't sure if I should post it. So I posted it and then put white text over the top. You know, I wanted to be honest in communicating that I don't know everything, you know, as active as we are in the community. There are people that are protesting and then there's people that are looting, and protesters and looters are not one and the same. And so, you know, sometimes people see things and they comment on maybe somebody looting and their comment is ill-advised because you haven't even like gained the knowledge or gained the understanding or asked any questions. And the craft of question is a critical skill, like being able to observe something and take in something and evaluate it intellectually and be able to develop questions that will facilitate answers that increase the breadth of understanding. And listening is a critical skill that people are not practicing as much as they should be right now. And those are two things that, you know, in order for our communities to move forward, in order for us to create collective consciousness and understanding, that we really have to exercise and we really have to maintain and we really have to put into practice.
Yeah. Asia, I really like what you said about being able to craft questions. And I'm curious, in this time where white people are trying to be supportive, is there something that sticks out to you that's most important right now? Like, what is something tangible that white people can be doing this week and moving forward?
I think just like with the Blackout Tuesday, it's really everybody feels this inclination and this impulse to act and to do something. But I think the important thing to do is like the conversation we're having right now. If there's somebody you know that is Black in your community, or somebody you know in your community that you think can increase your understanding, take time to craft the questions you really want to ask them. You know, and my friend called me and said, listen, I don't want to offend you. I don't want you to get upset at me, because at the same time, the white people I know are communicating that when they've asked questions, like the clapback from people was just so hard and people accused them of hating Black people, you know, and so people are scared to ask questions, you know, and that even goes to show with the Blackout Tuesday, there were people who did it. And once I expressed, I'm not sure we should be doing this, they would say, yeah, I'm not sure either. But they were afraid to ask the question of if it was justified, you know? And so I think we all have to overcome our fear of asking questions by purifying our intention when we talk to people and letting them know, this is what my intention is by creating this conversation with you. I really want to be an advocate and a support and an ally. And I'm just not sure what steps to take so that you feel like you have my allyship, so that you feel like I'm behind you and I'm supporting you and that you're not out there alone. You know, and it's worth it for people to sit and really evaluate and gain knowledge, observe something and then rationalize it and flip it over and then, you know, try to understand it and then communicate it and then get a response from it. It's worth it to sit and say, what are the questions that I really have based on my understanding at this point and the amount of knowledge I've accrued at this point? what questions will increase my understanding so I can be a better ally, so I can be a better friend, so I can be a better neighbor. What questions will help me to gain understanding of the Black people in my community and the issues they're going through? Because there's a fundamental error in American education where a tremendous amount of history has been omitted. And I think that a lot of white students are at a disadvantage because a lot of the history that would allow them to understand what's happening right now has been denied of them. You know, and so you got to go look, you got to read. I advocate for people to really research American history because there's not an immigrant population in America that has not been marginalized or oppressed in some way. You know, it all started with the original inhabitants of this country, the Native Americans, and then you get, you know, the Puritans coming in, the Pilgrims coming in, but the Irish, the Jewish, anybody who's Catholic, people that are immigrating from Africa, people that are coming from South America, like every population has been marginalized in some way when they were asked to sacrifice their cultural identity for a racial one. You know, so instead of being able to understand this set of values that you come from and historically the roots of your culture, you have to trade your Italian or your Nigerian or your Congolese or your Brazilian identity and select a race. And when you select a race, you are saying that I give you permission to ascribe to me a specific set of values and a specific position in the United States. And I just think that that's what's compromised all of us, is not ever being able to given the chance to have a cultural understanding of one another, of our value systems, of our life experience, and having just to choose to subscribe to a race and have a specific subset of conditions ascribed to all of us. It feels like there's a lot of conversations that need to be had. And like I said, a conversation can begin with a question, a well thought out question with intention behind it, and then exercising the critical skill of listening. And even if something is jarring or if it bothers you, if you're not sure if it's true, you need to listen and just take notes and write down the things you'd like to research further and approach this from a place of rationality, because it's a very subjective time where everyone is very emotional and everyone's experiences are really dictating their action. And when we're listening, that's the time when we need to be objective. And we're communicating something, that's the time when we need to be subjective so people can know how we feel. But listening, we should do from a very objective place.
Yeah. Personally, that's helpful for me. It makes me not feel so scared to ask questions because I want to educate myself and I want to be supportive in the right ways and in ways that will make a bigger impact than, you know, just even posting something. Or it's like, what can we do that really has impact right now? And I think listening would be a really great place to start.
Right. And I mean, even a lot of people are asking the question, what can I do? But I think a better question would be, what can I do right now to make you feel heard and supported? You know, what actions can I take or refrain from that would make you feel heard and supported? You know, and that's what we should ask of any members of our community.
Is this escalating situation fueling any music projects? Does this climate leave room for music projects?
It definitely creates an opening, and it's inspiring to some degree. But at the same time, it's a lot of energy going on and a lot of emotions to process.
We were speaking yesterday. We define our music as roots music because it means that we pull from like all of our cultures and anywhere that, you know, has a root of Blackness. Like we are researching and we come from, and we're trying to sort all that out. So right now, to be completely honest with you, what I've been doing more than writing music, which I have written some, but I've been researching Black folk musicians who are voices of revolutions and resolutions over time, you know, which has been a really important part of the process for me. I've been listening to a tremendous amount of Odetta. I've been listening to Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Jessie Mae Hemphill, like a bunch of different Black musicians that I know a lot of people that don't know. But in times of protest and civil disobedience and in real change, I've been putting together a playlist of these artists that are not popular artists, that not everybody knows about, that were really voices, active voices at times of great change in this country and others.
Yeah, and I think as well, I've been reflecting on some of the music that we've created in the past and how it has been protest music already, and how there's so many artists who have been creating protest music because these issues are not new. Now we have social media and we have the internet all over the world that really amplifies and really shows what's been going on in our communities for decades at this point, and those songs are still relevant now.
Yeah, and you know, Nina Simone said we all have a responsibility to be a mirror to society, but I just read this quote by Toni Morrison where she said, "This is precisely the time when artists go to work. There's no time for despair, no place for self-pity, and no need for silence. So I think right now what we're doing is absorbing information, like contemplating and rationalizing it, going over it, and then allowing our emotions to make themselves clear and then communicating it through our art.
Yeah.
If there's just one thing that I could say that I've been trying to advocate for is when people say, I don't see color, I think it's better not to say, I don't see color, but say, I do see your color and I recognize that you have culture, but I am not conditioned by your color. Yeah. You know, I see your color, but I'm not conditioned by it. I don't have any preconceptions about you because of your color. That's a much more powerful statement because you're able to recognize somebody for how they exist. And you recognize them culturally. And you say, I see your color. I look at you as a human being.
And thank you for reaching out. Thank you for playing and supporting our music and also for giving us this platform to speak about this.
Oh, thank you both so much for taking the time to talk with me and KBNF and for sharing some really invaluable tools that we can all practice.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Talk and Music on KBNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Visit kvnf.org for more talk and music programs and for a direct link to the Reminders music. Thank you for listening.
I'm coming home. And I have been away for so long. I have been so brave. I've been so strong. Come back to the place where I belong.